It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Last Wednesday, to be exact.
So are we on, Chase? We're on. Welcome to Insight. The first Insight of 2024. We have in studio the Fort Recovery Village Administrator, Mr. Randy Diller. Hello, RD.
Hello, Jack. Does that mean I'm the best guest of 24?
You're the best one we've had all year.
All right, thanks.
Without a doubt.
Thanks, appreciate
and
that.
On the board, kind of putting this all together, screwing up firstly. So he ruined his chance of having a perfect year on January 3rd. Chase Kaiser. Hello, Chase.
I'm not prepared for this.
How you doing?
Very good. Fantastic to have Chase on board here. RD, we just wrapped up, I think, from a village standpoint, a very successful 2023. Would you agree?
I would agree. In a lot of areas, we did it. We had a good year. I mean, there's always things that we'd still like to get done and more we'd like to get done. But overall, I would certainly say we made a lot of progress. Now, as with a lot of things that happen in government, it doesn't happen as quick as you'd like it to happen, but the planning's there and it's being, you know, we have approvals on money and so it's going to happen. It's just, you know, it may look like the next couple of years are really successful, but the real success was the past couple of years getting it to this point.
Was getting us to this point. Yeah. Fantastic. And I'm anxious to hear what those plans are, but let's start with the you. Okay.
Okay.
So how long have you been Fort Recovery's Village Administrator?
I just finished my 29th year, starting my 30th year.
Starting number 30.
Mm-hmm. Started in January of 95.
Now, that seems like a pretty long time ago.
It was a long time ago, Jack.
Talk about the process that got you into city government. Like, who came and talked to you?
It's a terrible story to tell.
Uh-oh.
There was two guys on council at the time, which I would consider pretty good friends, Dave Bretz and Bill Stogler.
Oh, no.
So they call me one day. Bretzy calls me. I think it was Bretzy that called me and said, "Hey, what are you doing for lunch today?" I said, "I don't have any plans. I was working at the bank." And he says, "Hey, how about lunch? Let's do lunch." And I think it was Stolly's at the time.
Yep.
And I said, "Yeah, I can do that." So I go down there, and Bill's there, and Bretzy's there. And so they were selling. And I had seen the ad, you know, but I wasn't sure that was something that was really for me. I was in finance, you know. And,
yeah.
And so they started talking about it. And as I tell people for 29 years here, they caught me at a weak moment, and here I am.
Of all the guys that you would listen to, you picked Bretzy and Bill.
You know,
what yeah. In the hell were you thinking?
You know, the thing about both of those guys, they were great council members. They cared, you know.
Yeah.
One thing, they cared, and they always wanted to make progress, and they weren't afraid to take chances. So they were great council members, and I had them for a long time, Bretzy for an extremely long time.
Yeah. So, that was at a time when Fort Recovery had no village administrator, correct?
Correct. I was the first.
You were the first. So,
and I think it was self-serving on their part. They wanted to start doing less, but, you know, I wasn't smart enough to figure that out at the time, but.
Well, and it was at a time when there was more stuff going on. You know,
it was the beginning of changes happening,
and
to do it, you had to keep up with it. You couldn't do it with a part-time mayor and a part-time council members trying to do all that stuff. You know, I've told people, and I've treated this position like a business for 29 years, because that's what you got to do. You got to run the day-to-day operations just like you run a business. And, you know, there's certainly different facets of government than businesses, but I mean, realistically, it's simplified. That's what you do. You just run it like a business, and you have to be there. You have to be there, and you have to be making those decisions and moving forward and staying up on all the things that are happening and can happen. And
well, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break. I'm going to come back and talk about the business of Fort Recovery, past and present and future. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday, and now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce, and on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime Monday through Friday here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery Community Club's 17th annual Fish Fry is coming up on Saturday, January 20th from 4 to 7 p.m. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road for their famous fish with all the fixins, French fries, coleslaw, baked beans, and more. It's only $12 for all you care to eat, and carryouts will be available, and it's just $7 for kids 8 and under. It's an annual wintertime treat that everybody looks forward to. The Community Club's annual all-you-can-eat fish fry at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on Saturday, January 20th from 4 to 7 p.m.
We're back. Chase, you have to point at me. My mouth doesn't work until somebody points at me.
All right, you'll get the point.
Okay, very good. I know, I guess that comes from just being married, I guess. So
I'm sure Marcia don't listen to you anymore, so it don't matter. I can say that if you want.
So let's talk about 2023, okay? What are some of the things that got accomplished that helped make 2023 a successful year?
Again, a lot of the things that we feel really great about that happened in 2023 were mostly the planning and things. So in 2023, as an example, We moved forward with the street project. We're going to redo one block of Gwendolyn and one block of Wig Street. We got a bid out. We did everything, but it won't start till next month, February of 24. Should be done by June of 24. So that's a good thing. We want to continue to do those small projects, new curb sidewalks, street lights, make sure all the utilities are what they need to be. So that's a big one, and we're working on that, and that'll come to fruition here quickly. The other thing, the big one was that we did secure a $1.25 million grant to build a second water tower. So we will be building a second tower. Could potentially start this year construction. We're just now in the final stages of the engineering and once that's completed, we'll go out to bid and hopefully get that done within another. It'll take about 12 to 18 months, depending on material supply chains and so forth.
But, so where will the new water tower go?
New water tower will be located north of town, on basically in front of the new Cooper building.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be right along 49 near the Cooper building. So that was a big plus. We needed a second tower. Our usage has gone up, and EPA has certain requirements about how much water you have to have in storage, based on your per day consumption. So
I'm fine, thanks.
You know, it's something we have to have. So it's good that we got the majority of it paid for.
So explain to me the way, and this is going to be a stupid question. So explain to me the way a water tower works.
It's probably not a stupid question, but it's a simple thing. You know, it's, you know, water is either runs downhill if it's not under pressure, or it can be pushed anywhere if it is under pressure. So our water system works by us pulling water out of the ground through our wells, goes through our water plant, is treated and softened, is pumped out to what we have it right beside the water plant as a clear well, which holds about 80,000 gallons. And then from there, it's run through the what we call the high lift pumps, which pump it out into the system. Well, we put enough pressure on it that it pumps it up into the tower.
Dig it. So there's actually how many gallons of water stored in a water tower?
Take a guess.
80,000.
At least.
Our current tower is 250,000, and our new one will be 250,000. So they'll look very similar to each other, and so we'll be able to store 500,000, which is more than, plus our 80,000 we can have in a clear well. So we'll have 580,000 potential storage at any one time. And that'll meet all the requirements for quite a while. We pump out around, we'll say just for number's sake, about 200,000 gallons a day. And they always want you to have at least 2, if not 2.5 days on storage. Yep. So we'll meet that for a while, you know, quite a while probably. But.
And we welcome into studio the good mayor, the late mayor.
Sorry, I'm a little tardy. I was talking to a gentleman about building a new home, so that took precedence there. So
first things first, you got to pay the bills. Right. So we are in the process of talking about the accomplishments of 2023. Randy mentioned the Wig Street thing. Like, is that in front of my house?
Yours is already done, Jack.
Oh, okay, you got curbs.
You know, I didn't know.
Go west, young man.
Okay.
That next block that needed redone, and then that last block of Gwendolyn to the south. So those two will be done, and that'll finish up that whole area of town.
I was drive Ashley's lawnmower down that part. It is bumpy as hell, so that'll be nice.
We're doing it just for you, Jack.
Yeah,
just for you, buddy.
We saw a guy go by down there with a lawnmower and said, well, we got to fix that up.
Fantastic. So
it's amazing if you look at that, you know, just the things that get done. And people overlook. I mean, it's easy to not know what's all happening. Yep. So it's good to actually let everybody know it.
I'm going to ask a stupid question again. And this is because I rarely see any mail at my house, okay? But does a village send out, like, a monthly newsletter?
We do not.
Nope.
We have, in the past, done blogs. We've done things
on Facebook
electronically, but we've not sent it. Years and years ago, I sent them out for a while.
Yeah.
But then it just got too costly. And,
yeah.
And with electronics now.
And in, you know, in this day and age, you can post something on Facebook and it gets around pretty darn good.
Well, the other thing that is available at any time, and I think it would be hold true of any of the governmental functions here, school boards, anything, is you can typically go online and read their minutes within, you know, a couple weeks of the meeting. So you can go back and read every minute for the last however many years Bert has on there, but a lot. So.
Yep. So, Mayor Kalp, I will ask you the same thing that I asked Randy when we started. So how long have you been mayor?
8 years. 8 years and 3 days.
Okay, so so you just finished up your second term?
Yep.
And you're starting your third?
That's correct.
Fantastic.
That's correct.
Yeah. And what possessed you to run in the first place?
That's a really good question, Jack. You know, I got involved with the council. I'm going to guess now it was, I think I was on council, I want to say, for 13 years, I think.
Approximately. Yeah.
Roughly in there, because I took over when Doug West Curtis moved to St. Joe, and they were short of a council member. So I took it then. I was living in town there across from Hall Brothers, and, you know, it was something that always was intriguing to me. And then the mayor's job kind of, I shouldn't say fell in my lap, but, you know, Roger was the mayor before me, and he did an awesome job. And I think that Roger had it worked out better for him, or, you know, it was one of those things where he was retiring, and it was something to do with health insurance, and whatever the case, it was just kind of silly for him to continue to do it.
Yeah.
And I had always razzed him in the council meetings. You know, if he screwed something up, I would say, oh my God, 2 more years and I can finally get this job, you know. But in the end, he came to me and asked me if I'd do it. So the reality of that is that, yeah, I wanted to do it. I wanted to see what it all entailed and how it worked. And, you know, it's not bad. It's not bad. The first 4 years, I enjoyed the crap out of it. I really did. You know, going to some of the banquets and meetings and talking to the Boy Scouts and different things that I did. You know, you go up and you give a little talk at the Memorial Day parade. You know, we go up there and it's just fun to do that. You know, the second term, the last term is, you know, you start to find out it does take up a lot of your time.
Yeah.
You know, it takes up a lot of your time. And you continuously stay busy. This time I wasn't 100% fired up to do it. I really asked some of the council members if anybody was interested in doing it, and it just didn't seem like it was time for them to do it. So, you know, I do enjoy doing it. And if there was somebody out there that just wanted the job 100% and had all the time to give to it, I wish I had more time to give to that job, because there's so much more stuff to do. I mean, we get letters constantly about, you know, meetings, and hell, I was on a board that I didn't even know I was on, you know. and they called me one time, and I said, well, I've never been to one of those meetings. And they said, yeah, we know, you know, can you make one? And it would have been great to go to that. But, you know, first and foremost, I have my family, and then I'm trying to run a business. So, you know, when I took the job, I told them, I said, look, you get this. This is what I have to offer. If it's not good enough, we got to find somebody else. And, you know, is it $100 a month? No, but it's more than people think. I will say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, so now you're somewhat committed to, you know, 12 years, and I bet when you took it that first day, you didn't think, you know what, this is something I'll do for over a decade.
Yeah, I had no idea. You know, actually what I was kind of thinking, and I had mentioned it to the former mayor, Roger Roorman, and I said, well, maybe after 4 years, you know, you got your thing straightened out and you can come do it again. And I think at that time, I think he really wanted it. I really think he wanted to do the job, and he loved doing the job too. And it just didn't work out for him, you know, financially wise or anything like that. It was just kind of, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
You know? So, but, you know, I actually asked him about August if he wanted to be the mayor again, and I think
he said no.
I probably shouldn't say what he said. So, but no, the answer was no. I'm not interested.
So, thanks for you filling us in on that. So as like we go back to talking about 2023, you know, and the stuff that got done, cover a few of the other things that you kind of got checked off the list.
Yeah, there was a lot of different things that were all in the works all through the year, and a lot of them got done. You know, one of the things that we did accomplish was we did get and people think this kind of sounds crazy sometimes, but we got an approved safe routes to school plan from ODOT. And what's that consist of? You go through a lot of meetings, you generate a plan based off of the situations that you see getting kids to and from school, both on bikes and pedestrians. What does that entail at the end? Well, it qualifies us for grants that we can fix those areas that we've seen as deficits in getting kids to school. So areas that might need crosswalks lit up, flashing crosswalks, it can be a lot of different things. It could actually even be a traffic signal, but that's a hard one to get. But so now we qualify for those, and that application process will start this year where we'll start applying for some of those projects. The other side of that issue is, like with all ODOT things, and we can talk for a long time about some of that, but it's not very quick.
Yeah.
Meaning it's actually really slow. But if we apply for a project and get a funded this year, we might be able to build it in 26, probably 27. So if you're putting up crosswalks with signals, you know, you don't want to wait
3 years
to get that done. And now if it's a $500,000 project and they want to pay for it, yeah, you work your process and you do it. But the neat thing about that program is it's 100%. They pay 100% of the cost, both planning, everything, all the extra stuff that they require, they pay 100% of. So
and I'm assuming that they dictate which crosswalks get put in, or
not necessarily dictate. I mean, they have their standards, but we dictate based off, and it'll be based off numbers, you know, which ones get used, which ones are, you know, so they don't really tell us you have to apply for this one before you can apply for that one, but they certainly look at the numbers that we've already provided them to get the plan approved. So, you know, one of the areas, ironically, and we'll talk about this here in a minute probably, but one of the areas we identified was the intersection of 49 and 119. Now, I will admit, there's not a lot of kids that cross there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take a lot of kids to have a bad accident.
Yeah.
You know? So that was one of the areas we identified. Well, ironically, we're already putting one in, and it was also more or less paid for. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's one off the list that we won't have to apply for and wait 3 years, because that one is in the process. That was one of the other things that happened in 2023 was the mayor pushed through some things, and we went to the commissioners, and they were willing to use some of their ARPA monies to do various projects around the county, and we applied for a stoplight at that intersection based on need, and they approved it. So we got the money to more or less pay for the majority of it. What we didn't get from them that's going to cover the cost will come out of the ARPA money that we got. So it's basically being paid for through the ARPA funds. That has been approved. That has went out to bid. It has been awarded. The paperwork's done. They've ordered the materials. I would anticipate a 2024 construction, but they're telling me, originally they told me 9 to 12 months on the polls. Lately they were saying 6 to 9 months. So we're hopeful that maybe if 6 months, that'll be middle of summer.
Yeah.
We possibly can get it done this summer. If not, it may happen in the fall. But
So there's a stoplight going up at...
There is a stoplight going up at 49 and 119 intersection.
I'll be damned, that's been on the discussion board for a long time.
And you know why it was there? Because ODOT wouldn't approve it.
Yeah.
So yeah. It took some maneuvering and some long conversations, and at the end of the day, they basically didn't approve it, but they told us if we're paying for it and they're not, just, you know, they won't get in our way, so...
That'll be a learning curve. You know, once that goes in, people have been used to not having to stop
like,
stoplights. But,
you know, it's like at the corner up here at U 49.
I think just the traffic flow at certain times of the day, whether it be, you know, in the mornings when, you know, when all the trucks are trying to get out and you see them backed up for, I mean, you can sit there for 5-6 minutes pretty easy. So I think that'll help the flow of traffic get through town, especially, I think, you know, north and south. So I'm excited to get that up, that's for sure.
That's awesome. Well, plus, you know, like you said, it's a, I mean, it's a huge safety issue, you know, so.
I think it'll make a big difference now, you know, hopefully. And it's possible, we may have some fender benders there once we get it up because of just our, the chief calls it muscle memory, you know. He calls it muscle memory. We just, you know, to put these stop signs right there, that was a, took a long time, right? I mean, a lot of us were guilty. And I was guilty down when we put them down on Wayne Street to the north, you know. I mean, it took a bit. But now I think it's all good.
So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about kind of recapping 2023 and what's ahead for us in 2024. We'll be back after this.
Klingtron & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingtronandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtron & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery is now hiring in their service and parts departments. Hull Brothers sells and services both farm equipment and lawn and garden equipment. Full-time employees enjoy generous wages, health insurance, paid vacations, 401k contributions, annual bonuses, and more. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers with skilled and dedicated employees. Consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Apply today at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274.
Hello, this is Kim Rammel, site manager for the Fort Recovery Museum. We welcome you to visit our temporary exhibit, St. Clair's Defeat Revisited, A New View of the Conflict. This exhibit uses four themes to tell the story of St. Clair's defeat from a Native perspective. Come learn about the crescent strategy used by Native fighters during the battle, the long-term aftermath following St. Clair's defeat, and persistence of tribes today. The exhibit was co-created by 11 tribal citizens and archaeologists from Ball State University. We are excited and proud to be the first venue for this exhibit before it travels to Fort Wayne, Oklahoma, Columbus, and other museums throughout the country. We are proud that over 600 people have visited the museum since the exhibit's opening on November 4th. The museum is open until January 7th on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, with the only exceptions being open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on Christmas and New Year's weekends. The hours are 11 to 4, and admission is free. Check out our website at www.fortrecoverymuseum.com and our Facebook page for more information. Put aside some time this holiday season to visit our museum to see this informative exhibit, St. Clair's Defeat Revisited, A New View of the Conflict, running through the first weekend in January. We hope to see you there.
Jack, we're back. Inside. Talking to Mayor Dave Kalb, Village Administrator Randy Diller about all things Fort Recovery. And so we touched on, like, how to get the clean water out to people. So now let's touch on how to get the dirty water back from them. and you know, what the you know, well, what the plans are there.
It's funny you bring it up that way, because one of the only things I was told when I took this job was shit runs downhill.
Yeah.
So that's all you really need to know.
That's all you
So anyway, yeah, it goes into the sewer system, and then we pump it out to our lagoons, and then, you know, from there it's hopefully treated enough to be able to be released into the Wabash, which it is. So we haven't had any problems yet. But
So I see one of the things is the study and improvements, which means what?
Well, we had a wastewater system study done, and you know, the thing about wastewater is there's a lot of different options and ideas on how it can be done. So you have to figure out, based on your situation, your use, you know, what type of waste are you taking and trying to treat, you, and then you go from there and you try to factor in any growth that may be occurring down the road here in the next 20 to 30 years, which is hard to do, you kind of plan for that, and then you look at it. Well, you know, I'm sure the council and the mayor are just like I was after we read through the study, is like, you know, Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
Because first thing they come up with is, let's build a $10 to $12 million wastewater plant.
Oh, that's easy enough, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And let's have the, you know, 1,500 people that live here in Fort Recovery pay for it. You know, it just doesn't work that easy. So there's a lot of options, and we're still pursuing options. They, being the study people and the Ohio EPA, would love to see us go mechanical in our treatment, get away from lagoons. But anybody in the business tells you stay with lagoons as long as they're being effective. So we are looking at some options now that may improve the life of our lagoons and make it possible to go another 30, 40 years. You know, the other thing that comes into play is that constantly EPA is throwing new things at you.
Yeah.
So now we got to meet different requirements. We got to meet effluent requirements on phosphorus, ammonia, E. coli, those we never had limits on before. Now, we tested for them, and we knew we weren't crazy high on any of them, but we didn't have to meet a limit. Well, now they're going to want us to meet a limit. Well, some of that stuff is very limited, what you can treat in a lagoon. So you have to come up with another process or an addition to the existing process. So we're looking at a lot of things. And quite honestly, probably one of the first steps will be to see if we can't get the existing lagoons cleaned out. They were built in 71. They've never been cleaned. Now, that sounds like a long time, but you know, they were 7 foot deep, and they probably have they don't have more than 2 foot of sludge in anywhere. So it's not like they're filling up. It's just that it's taken up area that could be treating as opposed to being sludge. So we'll work on that, and we'll continue to move forward.
And I think, Randy, if you think about it, you know, they were put in the early 70s. So, you know, obviously they were thinking, yeah, we got to take care of what we're dealing with today. But we also got to think about 20 or 30 years down the road.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job of that, you know, because here we are still using the same system 50 years later. Now, the past couple of years, yes, we've had some smells and some issues that we've been dealing with. And, I mean, we've talked to what we think are the best people out there that deals with this on a daily basis. And you know, we do whatever we can to try to make it better, and it certainly has gotten better. And hopefully, you know, when springtime rolls around this year, it's one of those deals where, and Randy will tell you know, when the water gets to be a certain temperature, you know, those lagoons kind of roll over, they call it. And that's when, you know, the smell starts to come. This spring we had a great turnover, and we really didn't have anything. I mean, it was so minimal. It was, and that was a guy that we worked with and his product. Now, you know, was that luck in 1 year? We'll find out again this year. But it takes a lot of money to clean those things out.
Yeah. So how many lagoons are out there?
We have 2 6-acre lagoons, and one of our biggest issues is that they're not deep lagoons, which is the standard nowadays, is that they make them, they'll make them 20 foot deep.
Oh, know? Really?
Yeah. And ours are 7. So we don't have a lot of extra, you know, the thing. And Copy is right. When they built those, they were thinking about 20, 30 years. Well, for all those 20 and 30 years, we were a combined sewer system. So what did that mean? That meant a lot of clean water was going into there. So they always said dilution is the solution. Yep. So for a lot of years, because we didn't have a lot of heavy loading waste going in there, it did. It worked. I mean, we weren't violating. We weren't doing, you know, it was working.
Well, a lot of rainwater was going in there.
You know, yeah. But then the EPA and their wisdom says you gotta stop that. Those lagoons aren't rated to handle that much flow, and I would agree they weren't. But if you're getting 1 million gallons of flow in there one day and only 100,000 the next day, where do you think that 900,000 came from? It's clear water. What do you have to treat in clear water? You know, so you know there. But that's just the way it works. And you know, we went through the sewer separation, and we are separated now. And so we're only sending, for the most part, we're only sending sewage out there. We have some infiltration, but it's so minimal compared to what it used to be that, but now, you know, now we see that the advantages of having that clear water going in there was good. And
so when you look at the challenges in the next 5 or 10 years, it's like wastewater gonna be high on that list?
Well, certainly we'll be doing projects in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it is completely redoing what we got or whether it is building a mechanical plant, something will occur in probably less than that time period.
Yeah.
EPA has put these limits on us in 5 years, actually in early 2028, so 4 years from now, we're supposed to be meeting all those limits. So yep. We have to be working towards those solutions in now to get to that point in 4 years. So something is going to occur yep. in the next. Now, what that is right now, we're still. It's just hard for me to see the total advantage of a mechanical plant for a town our size.
Yeah.
And knowing that it double, triples the operating costs. And let alone the upfront cost.
Yeah, where's that?
Yeah. So yeah,
where's that going to come from?
Now, if you know, if somebody steps in from the EPA or Department of Development or somebody and says, "Hey, you know, hey, here's $10 million. Why don't you see what you can do?" And
yeah,
you know, that makes a difference. Then we can try to figure out how we'll handle the operating and we'll handle all that stuff. And I know that a lot of people in town want to blame the whole issue on the ag facility here in town. And while they certainly are our biggest user, they have been doing a tremendous job in keeping their numbers down to where it's consistently in the range of domestic waste.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're giving us 80 to 100,000 gallons a day at domestic waste. So it's like having another 700 or 800 houses, but it's not at a high strength like it was for a while. So they have done what they needed to do. Now we need to figure out how we can take the next step and make it work for everybody.
Gotcha. I think we've discussed the lagoons and sanitary more in the last 5 years than we did the first 18 I was there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what's next. You know, like what can we expect in 2024 and maybe a little bit beyond that. So we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Have you checked out Wayne IGA's new meat bundles? They have order slips back at their meat counter. Their farm bundle has a nice assortment of their most popular beef, pork, and chicken cuts. Their pork bundle has bacon, Vulcan casing sausage, and bone-in and boneless pork chops. And their steak bundle has cube steaks, plus ribeyes, New York strips, and T-bones. Stop back at their meat counter for more details. Freezer wrapping is available for a small extra charge. Get stocked up for winter and have some left over for spring. Head up to Wayne IGA now and get your meat bundles ordered. Wayne IGA, the best meat market around. The Fort Recovery Sons of the American Legion will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, February 11th. You can get your tickets from any Sons member, and they're only $10 each. Serving will be from 4 to 6 p.m., and you can eat your dinners at the Legion or take them home. For tickets, you can call 419-852-6916 or 419-852-0316 or look up one of the Sons of the Legion members and get your tickets now for their annual barbecue chicken dinner coming up on Sunday, February 11th at the Legion with serving from 4 to 6 p.m. The Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters will be holding a booster membership bash on Friday, January 5th at Miracle Lanes following the boys' basketball game with Versailles. All current and newly signed up booster members in attendance will receive 2 free drink tokens for that night. If you aren't a member, or if you have friends or family who aren't members, but you think they should be, drag them out to the bowling alley after the Versailles game and get them signed up. Wild Toe and Go tickets will be available, and a 50-50 drawing in Queen of Hearts and other raffles will be going on too. Get out to Miracle Lanes for the 3rd Annual Athletic Boosters Booster Bash on Friday, January 5th, after the Versailles game, and get yourself and your friends signed up to be members of the Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Village Administrator Randy Diller and Mayor Dave Kalp about all things Village of Fort Recovery-wise. And, RD, I think there was a couple of other points you wanted to touch on regarding 2023.
Yeah, just a couple of things to wrap that up. We did get a couple lighting projects done this year. If people may or may not have noticed that there's lights now on Wabash Road out by Cooper's and the egg facility. I know the people that walk that route have made mention of it because it was really dark before. And we also added some additional lights around our recreational trail. In between the existing lights, just to, especially the south end, you know, and we got a lot of, and we were trying to be careful when we put them in originally to not affect play on the ball diamonds at night.
Yeah.
But we found out that really wasn't an issue, so we added them, and we'll see how it goes next year. But we had a lot of good comments about that. The other things that happened in the park is we continue to work on our baseball fields. We got another diamond refinished next year, or this past year. We'll finish up the last one this year. We also took ownership of the former high school baseball field from the school. The town was able to purchase that, and for the time being, it will remain a baseball field because we don't have another use that we need it for. But, you know, if we start talking about water plant and other type of things down the road, that's pretty nice location for us to consider some of that kind of thing. So it may always be a baseball field, and that would be all right because it's now been kind of relegated to being our Pony League diamond, which we never had a dedicated Pony League diamond. They always played on one that was too small or one that was too big.
Yeah.
So we're looking at some projects there. The other thing that happened out in the park that was really neat was that we did acquire 0.9 acres to the west of Community Park. And if you've been out there, you've seen the sign that says future site of the Sawyer Overman Ninja Park. I'll give kudos where kudos are due here, and that is Buzz and Pat Hall donated that 0.9 acres to the town for that purpose, to be used for that playground and other playground issues around it. So we appreciate that.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
The last thing that did happen this year, and it didn't affect too many people, but the people that did affect are really appreciative, is that we did get the railroad crossing exempted out on 49, which means buses don't have to stop, tankers don't have to stop. It was kind of a bottleneck for all the Cooper traffic trying to get off a railroad street,
yeah,
and then having to stop right away. And so it's cleared that up, and buses don't have to stop there either when they make that turn. So that was a big plus. So,
you know, there's people flying around the curve coming, you know, from the north. And then there was a guy, you know, you couldn't see the bus sitting
yeah.
there or the gas tanker or something sitting yep. there. So it was good to get that done.
Yeah.
Another thing that took forever to get that to happen, too. Unbelievable.
And the reason they tell us it took so long was they screwed it up. They screwed up the notifications and things on their end, so it took twice as long, which, I mean, we weren't in any big hurry, but yeah. at the same time, you but know, still, why have it pending out there for so long when it's, you know, it's a no-brainer, you know?
Yeah.
So we are going to, I actually started some paperwork on, we're going to apply for the other two crossings we have. Which is on First Street and on Wing Street North yep. going to Wabash Road. We'll apply to get those exempted also. Those aren't quite as critical because we don't yeah. have near as many buses going down them and we don't have as many tankers going down them, but there's really no reason to have them.
Yeah, it's not at an intersection the way the one out on 49 was.
Yeah. Right.
So, you had a very busy and successful 2023, so time to just kind of slide through 2024 and not get much done then.
Well, like I said, the success we had was planning for the next few years
yeah.
to get projects done, and we will. I mean, that Gwendolyn Wiggs will get done. The stoplight we hope will get done. The water tower could, you know, if not done, be under construction, and so those are exciting things, and
yeah.
we're happy to have that done. The traffic signal is a big thing. One other thing we do have out there pending right now is we did apply for some funding through the Ohio Public Works Commission, which has been one of our better sources of funding over the years, and we've always been fairly successful in getting that funding. As we did apply for a grant and a 0% loan to redo two blocks of Butler Street, which was covered under the old Butler Street project that went south on us, but those two blocks would be from Fort Sight Street to Wayne Street, so it encompasses the two blocks of the downtown, basically.
Yeah.
And we did that for a couple reasons. One being, they have approved us replacing that stoplight, and that may not sound like a big deal, but after we went through the other one, we're not taking a chance, so we're going to try to take them up on their approval as quick as we can and get that one replaced also. I mean, it's not going to change anything. It's always been a stoplight.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's on mast arms as opposed to wires, you know, why does that make a big deal? Well, it does to them. So we'll get that done. And the other thing is that the Opera House is under renovations, and hopefully we'll be moving forward with things, and they're going to need some enhanced utilities to that building, especially from the sprinkler system, the fire yeah. suppression side. So part of our project includes replacing the water line that goes through there, which is, I will say, is probably the one and only section of water line is from Fort Sight Street to what we call the Point, over by the high school. That section in between there is the last section of water line that hasn't been replaced. So when that's done, we'll have a pretty good distribution system. We'll have two new water towers, and one of the things we'll talk about coming up is what we're going to do on the water side.
Yeah. So, you know, you really don't think about, when you have a project like the Opera House, some of the unseen things that you need to happen in order to make something like that happen. You mm-hmm. know, you don't even think about the, you know, water piece of it.
Yeah, the water, in a lot of cases, wouldn't be a big factor. Here, it is a big factor. I mean, they could, like, they haven't sized it yet officially,
yeah.
but they're thinking it could require a 6-inch line coming into that building. And that's a lot of water. That's a lot of water. I mean, we have neighborhoods that use 6-inch lines. It did. We've upgraded almost all of them to 8-inch now, but I mean, that's...
So why would it take that much?
Just like Randy said, for the fire suppression or sprinkler systems, if everything kicked on,
yeah,
you know.
Then you have to have enough.
You want the water coming out, yeah. But you don't want her dripping. Yeah. So, yeah.
Air's not a very good.
You know, the projects that we've worked on over the years where they have to bring in a fire suppression it's incredible how big that has to be when they comes in and how much pressure it's got. So it's an expensive item on anybody's project list when you have to put in some water. So
is there anything else you got planned for 2024?
Of course.
Huh?
I mean, going back to the Butler Street thing for a minute, that not being an ODOT fund is something that we could actually see, depending on how a couple other things go that we're working on, we could actually see some construction on that by the end of 2024. For sure by the beginning of 2025. So it's a fairly quick turnaround when you get public works money. That's the plus to that, one of the pluses. So we're looking forward to that. One thing we haven't talked about that we talked about a year ago when we did this was the trails project or the sidewalk project out south of town, which is going out Sharpsburg Road and out 49 South. We have a walkway, a 6-foot walkway. It's kind of a multi-purpose. It could be 6, could be 8 in some areas, depending on the situation. But it'll go from the intersection where the Dairy Queen is at all the way out to Flaler Road and around the corner to Sweet Breeze. So it will connect all of that back to town and to, most importantly, the school. So those houses that are located along Sharpsburg Road that now all of a sudden have a lot of kids going to school, you know, and then the subdivision across the street from the school, you know, there's more and more kids getting in that area. And now we have to figure out how to get them to the school from the front. And, you know, back in the day when that was built and we were planning, the school said, no sidewalks. We don't want anybody coming in the front of the building. You were probably involved with school back then. And so that's the way it's been. Well, now it's changed, and we need to do that. The other half of that project is taking a walkway down 49 out to the industrial park, or basically to accommodate people getting to Dollar General, the hardware store, and they can get to the industrial park if they're going somewhere out there, too. So those are in the works. Those are all approved. That's an ODOT project, so we're looking for a likely 25 or 26 construction on it, but when it happens, it'll be good.
That's incredible when you know that different levels of government get involved, that you can automatically add 18 months to the
I would be happy with 18 months.
It's pretty frustrating.
Really
is. I mean, it shouldn't be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. We all can make decisions. And that's the issue that I have with them. And I've talked to the representatives and the congressmen and said, I just don't get it. I mean, we all make decisions every day. If we had to make, if it took Jack Stogler 18 months to make a decision when he worked at Cooper's, how long would you work there?
Not very long. 5 years.
I know, but I'm saying
months to make a decision?
Yeah.
I wouldn't make it through my first decision.
That's right. I mean, it's just crazy. So, but it is what it is. I mean, it's kind of...
That's federal dollars. I mean, it's not always the funding source that's the problem. It's federal dollars. But it's ironic because we spent a lot of time this year filling out forms and surveys and feedback to a group that's doing some research on what is the biggest problem to funding for small communities. And it's pretty obvious, you know. We don't like to talk about the Butler Street project, but when you start adding in all the environmentals and the archaeologicals and the test boring things that, I mean, we're doing a street reconstruction. We're not building a high-rise tower here, you know. Do you really need all that stuff?
Yeah.
And that doesn't even include the worst part. It was the right-of-way, and that just, all that stuff is just frustrating for us.
Yeah.
And so we gave them that feedback. We gave Senator Huffman, Representative King, and before that, Representative Manchester, all that feedback saying, you want to help us?
Simplify.
Yeah. Simplify this whole process.
Because it's very simple. It really is simple, you know? And, yeah, we probably shouldn't go into it. But the bottom line was, if we wanted to do your street, like when we did Wig Street, and correct me if I'm wrong, Randy, but we would have had to have a survey done on your lot and where the easement was, where the setback was, and then potentially have to buy a little bit of your front yard
temporarily
in case we stepped in it. And then, you know, basically a rent check. We're renting your front yard. But we tried to tell them, you know, we can just go talk to Jack and say, hey, Jack, you're going to get a new street, new sidewalks, all this. And you're going to be like, cool. Yeah. You know, and it's that simple.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, it's different, I think, maybe if you are in a big city or whatever where you don't know everybody.
Yeah.
Then maybe it's a different story. But, you know, yeah, I'm going to stop, but I just get fired up.
So, I tell you what, let's take another break, come back, and talk a little bit about staffing, you know, and I'm going to ask you guys a question, okay? What are the top three things that Fort Recovery still needs? Okay. So we'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Stroll Appliance and Electronics has GE appliances in stock and ready for your home. Strolls has GE washers and dryers, dishwashers, refrigerators, ranges, freezers, and microwaves. For instance, get a GE 14 cubic foot frost-free upright freezer for $699, save $150. And Strolls now carries the all-new GE Nugget ice makers, so you'll never be short on ice. That's Stroll Appliance and Electronics, 1513 North Meridian Street in Portland, serving the Jay and Mercer areas for 84 years.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Here are the basketball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will travel to Versailles and will simulcast WPGW's broadcast of the varsity game, and the NFHS video will be available. Friday, the boys will host Versailles, and that'll be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast, and our audio can also be heard on the NFHS video. Saturday, the boys will host Botkins, and that will also be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast, and our audio can also be heard on the NFHS video. Get out and support our Indians teams in 2024, but if you just can't get to all the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We went last year.
We're back. Insight, talking to Mayor Dave Kalp, Village Administrator Randy Diller, about all things Fort Recovery. And so from a staffing standpoint, how many, you know, you hear so much about open positions and all the different areas and stuff. So how many employees does Fort Recovery have?
We currently have 9 full-time employees, and we summertime we'll have anywhere from 25 to 30 part-time employees.
And those would include like guards at the pool,
lifeguards,
and mowers, and that type of thing. Are you completely staffed right now?
Depends who you ask, probably. But you know, in the past, we just lost our utility superintendent, you know, Ryan left and a little swearing. So we have not replaced him. We put the ad out and we didn't get anybody to reply. It had specific requirements on it that they have their water and wastewater licenses. So, if, you know, the only way you can get one of those is if you take him from some other town. So nobody applied. And so we're gonna approach that here a little different maybe, and then we're going to sit on it for a month or two. And then as the weather starts breaking, when we have more work, we'll see what the best way to go about it is. So, yeah, I mean, eventually we'll hire somebody. Will it be strictly a utility employee, or will it be more of a hybrid employee that could do street work, you know, when necessary, utility work when necessary, maybe get licensed in one of those, water or wastewaters, so we'll see how that goes. And the other one that we, you know, in the past we had three full-time police officers, and we're working with two now. And, you know, it seems to be going okay. I mean, it seems to be going good. They're doing a nice job.
Right now, I think our patrolmen are doing good. You know, obviously the chief had a surgery. Most people probably don't know that, but the chief was off since November, I think the end of November maybe.
No.
With a hip surgery. And but he's doing good, and he'll be back before you know it. I think he has been coming in the office doing some, you know, training and different things like that, and keeping up with stuff. But Hayden is our new officer, and he's a youngster that we got basically right out of the academy, and
literally.
Yeah.
I went over and grabbed him.
The chief and I went. I said, you know, let's just go over. I said, let's go talk to him, and we did.
So did you have him kind of eyeballed to where he was the one that you wanted?
No.
Okay.
No, all those kids in that class, they were all, but, you know, a lot of them were from Walpock, Lima area, you know, down there. There was a few, Hayden's grew up in St. Mary's, right? Or Salina.
Grew up in St. Mary's, lives in Salina.
So, you know, I just went in there and kind of pleaded our case and said, you know, if you want a small town atmosphere, you know, we're looking to hire somebody, and you know, if you're interested, reach out. We had a couple that reached out, and we talked to him, and you know, he really seems to have a good head on his shoulders, and you know, for his first year, I thought he did a great job. And I think he'll just keep getting better. So as long as we can hang on to him, you know, that's always the fear.
So is that usually because of money?
A lot of times it is, you know, because obviously bigger cities have a bigger payroll and they can pay more money. But you also have different things to worry about.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, we're very competitive when it comes to paying our police officers, and we try to do the best we can to make them happy. So, you know, we've got a good, you talk about the staff or whatever, but I want to thank, you know, obviously Randy and all his years that he's worked for the village. He's done a magnificent job. You know, we got Bertie down there, your sister-in-law, who's she's been great. And, you know, we got Jen's down there, you know, she's doing a lot of our grant stuff and things, and Angie McAbee's doing the tax, and they're just, I mean, they're hometown girls, and they're doing their job. So, you know, and as far as council, we've got a pretty experienced council.
Who's on council?
You know, you got, I would say, I'm trying to think, Luke Knapke's probably our least amount of years, it would be my guess, and he's probably got four. I don't think he's been.
He got reelected 2 years ago, but he filled an unexpired term, so he's probably got three or four years
in, you know. And then, I picture on that side of the table is Cliffy Wendell. Cliffy's been on probably at least two terms, and then Eric Feely, who's been on a couple of terms also. And then you got Outpost, who's been on probably 20 years.
Closing in on 25.
On 25 years. You got Scott Pearson, who was on the council and then missed out 1 year because of a goofy thing with the election. I think he's got about 12 or 13 years in.
He has 12. He had 8, and then he come back and just finished his first 4 the second time around, so he's got 12 in.
And then we have Greg Schmitz, who's on his second term also. Mm-hmm. So good group of guys in the council chambers. You know, it's just they have to make the decisions best for the village of Fort Recovery based on the information they have, and it's very simple. You know, are you going to make everybody happy? Probably not.
Nope.
But you have to make that decision based off what's best from the information that's provided to you. And that's what I think they do a good job of.
Yeah. So as like we wrap things up here, I asked you guys kind of a teaser question going into the last break. What are three things that Fort Recovery still needs?
I can give you three real quick off the top of my head.
Okay.
I mean, just because of where I sit at the table, you know, I'm the one working on a lot of these details. And, you know, obviously we need to make sure our utilities are up to snuff. And that includes both water and wastewater side. You know, we're going to see big changes. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the water, but we did a water study and we're looking at a total different process that would save us a ton of money in operating costs. Obviously, there's some upfront costs, so we got to figure that out. But we're working on that. So that would be number one. We got to make sure our utilities continue to be meeting all the requirements and be at least as affordable as we could possibly make them. And I don't, you know, people think that our water bills are high. They ought to go elsewhere,
yeah,
and see what some places are paying. Now, you go around this area, and they're all pretty close to where we're at. But you go away from this area, and it's not uncommon for people to be paying $150 a month for a basic water bill.
Yeah.
You know, and ours is $47. So, it is what it is. The second thing is, and it's something we're seeing right now, is that we need to be able to have industrial opportunities, commercial opportunities available. We don't have any industrial park ground right now. We're working on some things and continually working on some things, but as everybody knows, it's not easy to get ground around here, so you got to put yourself in the right spot at the right time and get it taken care of, and we continue to work on those, but you're late, Jack. Your wife's calling. So that would be one of the second ones, and then third ones is continue to make our streets and our facilities as nice as we can make them. I think back 29 years ago where we were at and where we're at now, we've done a lot of street work. We've done a ton of street work in that time, but there's still a lot to be done.
Well, and it's not like streets don't get wear and tear every year.
When they do a project like this, especially if you get a grant, they put a useful life number on that, and it's usually 25 to 30 years.
Yeah.
Well, the first true street project that they considered reconstruction in Fort Recovery was when they did Fremont Street behind the high school. That was in 1985. So we are at nearly 40 years. Now, granted, we've repaved them a lot of times, over the years, but a useful life of curbs and sidewalks in a lot of cases is 30 years, So here we are. Now, I don't think we're in trouble in most of those, but it's going to be an ongoing thing forever. But we have some areas we need to concentrate on and get done. So
it's something that I guess have brought up in the past, and we want to set up I think we're on the cusp of being able to do it as far as maintaining the sidewalks once we get them in, because I was like, okay, if we spend all this money to get them in, let's don't let them go to hell again. So whether we got to replace 12 feet or 16 feet, whatever the case, we just got to bite that bullet and make that happen. Otherwise, we'll have the same thing that we have, as you walk down Butler Street, and it's just up and down and crooked and cracked. And, at one point, I'm sure those were awesome.
Yeah.
But, we have to be able to maintain them. Yeah. And that's going to make even people madder, because Gosh dang it, it wasn't that long ago we put them in, but if you think back, it probably was.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just need to maintain those sidewalks so that, you know, they stay in good shape. The curbs, for the most part, I think, I mean, even Fremont Street, I think that looks fine.
I think the things that have changed is the process. You know, back in the day, they used to just pave right over everything. So they paved right over the curb.
Yeah.
And the gutter part of it. And pretty soon now your curbs are an inch tall instead of 6 inches tall. Well, we stopped doing that. You know, we grind everything out, keep it the same elevation. And that has certainly kept those curbs in better shape.
Yeah, so much better maintained.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously the other thing is, in my opinion, it'll be exciting to get the restaurant back open. You know, I think most people have heard that the Trusty Woods is sold and there's people in there remodeling it and they're going to open that restaurant up sometime in spring. And I've heard April, May, I don't know when it's going to be, but whenever that happens, that's going to be a bonus for town.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe another one. At one time, we had quite a few places we could pick from to grab a bite to eat. And it all boils down to having the workers to make sure it happens.
Yeah.
And I think that hurts. That hurt a lot of them. So be exciting to have another place back in town to eat. And I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic. So, some of the towns, like usually the larger ones, have used the Dora, you know, is like there an option for Fort Recovery to do more of that?
Not under the current setup, no. You have to have, in that Dora, you have to have a minimum of 4 liquor areas.
Okay.
So, at one time, if you counted the grocery store and Pete's and Brick Street
and Smitty's,
Trusty Woods, you know, we had 4 for a little while there, and then that all kind of went to birth. So right now we don't truly meet that requirement unless you, I'm not gonna say it that way, unless you spread it out. I was gonna say like Salina, spread it way out, and you went down and picked up, you know,
the bowling alley. And
well, the bowling alley's not in town, so they don't even count, but go down and pick up Casey's, or you pick up you know, where they don't even serve.
Yep.
Theirs is all only a carryout license. So, you know, we're limited in that. And I'm not sure it's a good fit for Fort Recovery.
Yeah.
If we have those events, we approve. Council has to approve it. We approve the closing of the street and let them do that. Let them do their thing.
I was wondering how that happened. So, guys, we've touched on a bunch. Anything I missed?
Well, I can tell you some exciting things from the parks that we're going to be working on the next years. And again, it comes down to money, but obviously we're working with the Sawyer Overman Group trying to get that to fruition and completion. I think that's an exciting thing, and it's a good project.
That'll be cool.
The other thing we are working on now, starting the process, is, you know, our pool is 40 years old. And people don't believe that, but it is. And we need to do a rehab project on our swimming pool and see what we can do with it as it is or what the options are. And, you know, there's talk about what could we do there. Well, you know, we could obviously add a splash pad and potentially make that splash pad available from outside so the pool didn't have to be open to have the splash pad open, that kind of a thing. So we're looking at getting some ideas together on that so there's some things that are happening in the parks that we're excited about. We like to stay up on our parks and keep them as nice as we can.
I think you guys have accomplished that very, very well in the past.
Parks look great. Parks look good, and a lot of that goes to the park board too. But always something going on, and always trying to make the town better.
Yeah, we got a lot of neat things in Fort Recovery. You know, our museum is neat. What they have over there right now, if you haven't had a chance to see it, you need to get down there this weekend because it's gone after Sunday.
Yeah.
And I know Jack's been doing some volunteering there, and it's a pretty neat thing.
Yeah, it really is.
And we're gonna try to get through it on Friday, spend a little extra time in there. And
what is neat is that, and you know, I mean, I don't have the history background, or that's not my thing to a certain extent. But to see people come from literally all over, I mean, when I work down there, there's people from Wisconsin and Florida and Louisiana, you know, and it's just neat to think that you've got an attraction like that that draws people in like
and,
that.
And it's amazing that most people in town haven't seen it. You know, they don't look at that as like a treasure because it's always been here.
Yeah. Some,
you know, but they need to go to those events and really check them out because they are neat.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, gentlemen, I appreciate you making time.
Made it work, Jack. You do a good job.
You always do, don't you?
Always like listening to you, buddy. You do a great job.
Thank you, sir. And we have Rocker.
I'm still here.
Step in here, Rocker.
Rocker dozed off here for a second.
Rocker, you can have my earphones, buddy.
I'm waiting.
Come in here. What do you got for us tonight?
My usual gimmick.
Gimmicks.
Yes, gimmick.
That's what we're known for, is gimmicks.
Does Bubba and Fee have a guest?
Not tonight. Okay. Fee is under the weather.
Fee's under? I don't like it.
We could use a little extra time, I think.
Well, hey, Jack.
Did Barrett stick around? Sure can.
Yep.
Bubba, you need me?
How's it going, Jack?
It's going good, fella.
First one of 2024.
First one. So I expected this to be top notch because you've had a couple weeks to even think about this.
Well, I told Neil 2 weeks ago that I was going to try something new.
Uh-oh.
But then you went on hiatus. You pulled a Johnny Carson.
That was me. That was my fault.
And then I thought, well, I'll wait a little while yet. Then I didn't really get the response from that little idea that I hoped for. So I thought, well, I better just do this same old gimmick.
Now, so, like, what was your new idea?
Well, I'll tell you that on the off air.
Okay.
We like it, whatever it is.
On this date, 1926, this is Tuesday, by the way.
Yeah.
Time magazine, or Time, I guess, crowns its first man of the year. You want to take a guess who it was?
1926.
Yeah.
Adolf Hitler.
That's
not, not quite there yet.
Herbert Hoover.
Not quite. Strike one.
He was elected in 28, but Herbert Hoover had some really good stuff going on for all kinds of things.
Charles Lindbergh.
Bingo. 1960, Johnny Cash plays what would turn to be a trend over the next few summers of doing tours of free prison concerts.
Oh.
I think he did an album there too.
Yep.
What was that one? He wasn't there. He didn't serve time there, but he.
Folsom?
Folsom. Crickets on that one. Today.
Are you a Johnny Cash fan?
Yes. Not a dedicated one like most people, but I'm there.
Yep.
1952, which is today. Today's Dragnet goes from radio to TV, starring Jack Webb and Harry Morgan.
Joe Friday.
Yes.
What was his sidekick's name?
Fred Friday.
No,
not Tuesday. Quite. That's before my time there, Jack. I'm 52. I was not around for another 22 years.
Who did Harry Morgan play?
Yeah.
I'd probably say, yep, if somebody would say it, but I don't
know. I got nothing. We'll keep this train going because Bubba's having fits out there. 1996. Here's something you like, Jack.
Okay.
National Fruitcake Tossing Day.
What's
the... It's National Fruitcake Tossing Day.
So it's all the fruitcakes and never got ate for Christmas?
Pretty much.
Throw them out.
Out the door.
Good choice.
We got early birthdays. Yesterday, or actually Tuesday, Scott Bergman.
Happy birthday.
Thursday, we got Kelsey Dotson.
Ooh. Sports star.
And Lauren Gailey.
Gail.
Oh, close enough.
Okay.
You're killing me, Smalls. No, we don't.
Okay. Well, you have to say their names right, Mr. Bond.
I don't correct.
Bond Bylone.
I don't correct you there, Sunshine.
Cocker.
Roger.
Says in the day.
Which is, yeah,
it's not going to be neither one of these two clowns.
The first citizen of the day of 2024. So let's think.
Give him a flag.
Who should it be?
I know who I'd pick.
Okay. I got somebody in mind.
Citizen of the day?
Yep. Yes. Yes.
2024?
Yeah.
We got quite a few more of these to go, Jack.
Yeah, I know, but...
still haven't got to the celebrity birthdays yet.
But first, we got to go to...
Citizen of the day?
Yep.
Joanne Glencer.
That's who I was going to pick.
No chance you had that in your mind.
I got it right.
She has been.
That'd have been a good one.
Held the door for her last night. She walked back in there.
Well, she'll remember that one of these days.
Such a gentleman.
Thank you.
Celebrity birthdays from yesterday. Jungle Jack Hanna, 77.
Yeah,
no, he's not. He got stung by a starfish.
Yeah,
that was Steve Irwin there, Sunshine.
Yeah, Jungle Cuba. Steve Irwin.
Cuba Gooding Jr. is 58.
Ooh, who? Cuba Gooding, he's good.
Slow.
Yeah.
Actor Taye Diggs is 53.
Well then,
who?
Ty Diggs, T-A-Y-E.
Oh.
Girls like him. For a certain reason.
Maybe because he's good looking? Is that probably a good idea?
We'll go with that.
Okay.
Actor Dax Shepard is 49.
Is he the quarterback for the Cowboys?
Not quite. Today's birthdays. Daphne Coleman turns a crisp 92.
92.
Crisp, you say?
Yes.
What was his most well-known movie?
9 to 5.
Very good.
Thought you had him, didn't you, Jack?
I didn't.
No chance. Victoria Principal is 74.
She's my age.
Victoria Principal is 74.
Dallas.
That makes you. How's that make you feel, Jack? Is that one of your crushes back in the day?
One of them. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Her and Bo Derek.
What catastrophe movie was she in?
Well,
Airplane.
Dallas? Oh, no.
Airplane.
Earthquake.
That was my next one.
Yep.
Airplane was...
Towering Inferno.
She played...
Oh, I love Towering Inferno.
Poseidon Adventure.
4-9.
She played a Puerto Rican
Shirley
girl.
Shelly Winters.
Yep.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Yep.
She looks nothing like a Puerto Rican woman.
Really?
Shelley Law? Yep.
Lethal Weapon star Mel Gibson turns 68.
Right. What's that?
Mel Gibson.
We were talking.
Mel.
I can't believe you interrupted us.
I'm trying to get this show on the road so these boys can get their dog and pony show going.
Yeah, dog and ponies.
All right.
Mel Gibson turns 68.
My age.
Yeah.
68 or 87?
I'm getting ready to turn 68. Groundhog Day.
Bill's Groundhog Day.
Huh?
This will turn into...
going to Nevis.
This is turning into Breakfast with Bill whenever Rocker would have a birthday. Hey, it's Jack's birthday. Jack had 78 birthdays every year.
Yeah, you had a boast there.
Can we? I got two more to go. Can we get through this quick?
The biggest fall of grace.
Yeah,
Pete Rose and who did you say? Who else?
I believe Bill Cosby's on that
Bill
list.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, I think he was one.
And you missed one, didn't you?
Well,
Breakfast with Bill. Anything you want to say?
It's not really a fall.
That dog and pony show?
It's not really a fall from grace if it's going to come back.
No, it's out. You don't even tell me it's coming back.
He can't
back.
Even get up anymore. Can't get up in time.
Let
so it'll be a afternoon snack with Bill.
It'll be brunch.
Break with Bill.
Yeah. Coffee break with Bill.
Is there something you want to announce?
We got two more of these to go. Wonder Years, Danica McKellar is 49.
She stars in a lot of
Easy Jack
Hallmark movies nowadays.
Oh, I didn't know where he's going with that, Jack. And retired NFL quarterback Eli Manning is 43. Now,
is he in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Not yet. But he has sold a lot of those gaming things.
I like Manning Cast.
Yep.
Any more questions?
No, I also didn't
put Harvey Weinstein on that list either.
Anything you want to announce about Breakfast with Bill? Is something happening? Is there something in the works?
Well, supposedly your little bucket brother is retiring in about another month.
Yeah.
He said he's coming back after that, so, you know.
Oh, my God. I hope not.
You know, it started about 8 o'clock. That'll be about his speed.
So, Rocker,
yes.
I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked Randy and the mayor. What are three things that Port Recovery still needs? Because you have a certain insight, Rocker, that
most people don't have. Well, my problem is my ideas don't quite negate to 2024 ideas, but I always thought Fort Recovery could use a good old-fashioned arcade.
An arcade?
Yes. Instead of kids, you know, playing on a goddamn...
Somebody said shit and one other thing today. An arcade.
Are you gonna let me finish for you?
Video?
Jump all over me.
Video arcade?
Have Atari hooked up with Pong?
Yeah.
There you go. That's a...
Table to remember. Donk.
Doink.
Bonk.
Dink.
Doink. Pop. Beep. Doink.
Sort of like your evenings with Jody.
Our games would go forever.
You know what? I can think that you can sense the success by how many other communities are putting in arcade right now.
Talk to your friends.
You laugh at that, but there are people actually doing it.
I'm not going to ask you to name two.
Hartford City's one of them.
No, they still got the porn built movies.
Not porn.
Yeah, they do. Remember, my dad always went there.
That's Geneva Genius.
Hartford City was always another one.
Yep.
I think Doc Cow probably attended them.
Nah, he just drove by. He didn't stop.
Yeah.
Just drive down the back roads and get a free peek. We just drive around Geneva for hours. See the same lady walking 50.
That's what our dad gave us for her 14th birthday. Took us a trip there. Go ahead, Rocker.
Oh, no. You had your fun now.
That's one.
Do you really want me to go through number two and three?
Give me one more.
Hey, the Dayton Arcade, I saw that on Channel 7.
So, okay, we got...
That's awesome. Hartford City, and...
No, I'm done with that. You tongue-lashed me enough on that.
Okay.
I don't have time for that crap.
So what else do we need?
Well, let's see. We've pretty well...
No doubt.
I have one.
Yes.
Shade at Bantrese Park.
Shade.
Like,
oh.
Put those things over the top, like those.
All you got to do is say something to, J&M, they'll build something.
Is that right?
They can do anything. Say, hey, J&M, we need something to block the sun. They'd have something up there in a week.
there's like three concerts a year when that sun, the early ones, or the late ones when the sun comes down.
All of them are tough.
Yeah, and Charlie Heim blew up there.
Did put shade in?
Yeah, we're going to blame Charlie.
Well, we can't turn it around. We couldn't turn it around. No, but you're facing the other way, have the band in the sun.
Can't do that. I love the amphitheater.
Oh,
I love going to shows there.
What I really love about it is everybody else in the county says they're the ones that have been in the community.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them have them now, don't they?
Yeah, yep. Almost every one of them says we started it.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
We got a big sports talk show coming up. Right. What's up? Not much.
Not much?
No, but we are going to talk about the gala.
Gala.
Rocker, do you have anything else?
No. It's all sports talk now.
So cool. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break and stay tuned for sports talk coming up at 8 o'clock.
Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.